Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What My Mother Sees in Hillary appeared May 19 in the New York Times Week in Review section. The author is with us this hour, Elizabeth Ward Gutting. The article begins this way. In 1973, my mother's first husband was killed in a car crash in downtown St. Louis. My brother was 9 months old. In swift succession, mother lost the father of her first child, access to a credit card, her car insurance, and the ability to take out a loan. Things taken from her because she was a single woman with a son to boot. It was the 1970s, and you were not considered legitimate at that time unless you had a man in your life. 4 decades later, her mom is looking forward to having the chance to vote. She hopes for this country's first female president. She and Hillary are a year apart in age, and Elizabeth writes, "Mom's experiences are so different from my own." We thought this would make a very interesting hour because we're looking at, of course, the historic nomination. Well, it will soon be a nomination of the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. And we're also looking at this large generation gap that a number of young women pled their support for Bernie Sanders during this election. Is there a generational difference here, and what explains that difference? Elizabeth is a writer who lives in Washington, D.C. She's the program director at the Penn Falk Foundation. She's received fellowships from George Mason University, the Vermont Studio Center, and Virginia Center for the Creative Arts. She was a Fulbright scholar, born and raised in St. Louis. She's lived in rural Ohio, the Mission District of San Francisco, and you can't say this about many people, on a tangerine farm in South Korea. She's 9 months pregnant. She may have the baby this hour, but we hope not. She may hope that she does, but we'll get through the hour, I'm sure. Elizabeth, congratulations on the upcoming child, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. Thanks for that great intro.
Yeah, thank you. Your mom had a really rough life in the 70s, didn't she? It is just very moving and very disturbing.
Thanks. Yes, she really went through quite a lot in her young adult life, and it's something that I think has made her more resilient than ever. She's already a naturally resilient person, but for me, growing up, I've always been a little bit fascinated with and full of admiration for how she did get through some really tough years.
Mm-hmm. Do you share, there's an age difference here, this generational divide that we've been spending so much time on. Do you share your mom's enthusiasm for the candidacy of Hillary Clinton?
I do. I definitely do. You know, I was a supporter of Hillary Clinton's in 2008 when she was running against Barack Obama. You know, I did shift to supporting Obama when she didn't get the nomination that year. But I have been a strong supporter of hers for many years. And, you know, I think writing this piece was in part an exploration of how that is connected to some personal experience.
Let's talk a little bit about your mom's personal experience, because I read the column and I thought this was not very long ago, and what she went through was just amazing. The day she got the call about the cancellation of her car insurance.
Sure. Would you like me to talk about that?
Yeah, please, would you?
Yeah, well, you know, this is something that my mom told me about not actually that long ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, and it came as a real shock to me, and it wasn't something that was necessarily because she was a woman. You know, it wasn't that women couldn't have car insurance, but I think that her circumstances, because she was suddenly single and because there had been this car accident, you know, she got this call. She got a call, and they said, "You haven't got the insurance anymore." And she didn't have a lot of power in that situation. And she called around to a bunch of different insurance agencies. Finally, got somebody on the phone. As I said in the article, you know, it's the same insurance agent she uses to this day. She's very loyal to him because he really came to her rescue in that moment. You know, if you don't have car insurance, you can't drive a car. She didn't have a job. She needed to be able to get to interviews, get to a job eventually with the car. And so that was something, you know, when she was telling me this, we were sitting in St. Louis. I was home visiting. We were sitting at a coffee shop in a mall, and I was just stunned. You know, it was something that I had no idea that this kind of thing could have happened to her, you know, and that she was, you know, and then these other things came out, you know, not being able to have a credit card, that you couldn't take out loans, that, you know, there was just this stigma and, you know, a lot of institutional sexism that was just sort of the accepted norm.
Mm-hmm. And talk about trying to get a job. You need to tell us those stories as well. She was denied a job because it was going to be given to somebody else, a man who, after all, had a family, not that she didn't.
Right. And actually, you know, I shared this with a friend who's also a writer who, before it was even published, and she wrote me back right away and said, the same thing happened to my mom in the 70s when she applied for a job. And, you know, then she was told that, oh, well, you know, there's a man who's applied for it and he has young kids, so we're giving it to him, even though she was more qualified. And that's sort of the thing that I've heard again and again, either from women of my mom's generation or women of my generation who are their daughters, where they say, my mom went through this same experience, either with sexual harassment or with, you know, not being able to get a job because it was given to a man, not having a credit card.
She was also sexually
take for granted.
She was also sexually assaulted.
Harassed, yeah. And, yeah, and, you know, and that's something that I've heard from other women, too, that this was just something that happened and that you had really almost no power to contend. You know, I think that the thing that really shocked me about that story is that there was no one for her to talk to about it. You know, there was no one for her to, you know, there's no supervisor or anyone to go to. Like, no one would have listened to that as an actual complaint. And then she just lost her job.
Mm-hmm. She, your mom said that for the first time in her life, she can see somebody who can directly relate to her own experiences in a strong position to become president, which in some ways explains some of this generational divide, right, on Hillary Clinton and support for her.
I think that there's, you know, an appreciation from women of my mom's generation for the accomplishments that Mrs. Clinton has achieved that, you know, elude women of my generation because we haven't gone through those same struggles. You know, I don't know if that's a matter of empathy or if it's just that, you know, years add up and you really, and your experiences add up and you have an appreciation that others can't necessarily have. I mean, I believe that I have a real appreciation for the historic significance of this nomination. And I will say, you know, that last week when Hillary Clinton was speaking in Brooklyn and, you know, taking on that nomination, I was sitting on my couch with tears running down my face because this was such an exciting moment. But I think that for my mom and for women in Hillary's, you know, same generation, I think that there is, like, a finally won feeling that this is so hard-earned.
You must see some similarities when you write in your piece, I love that she is always the last woman standing, that your mom had to go through a whole lot in order to survive what she went through in the 70s, and she certainly is standing proudly now.
Yeah, I have a huge appreciation for strong women, for strong people in general, but, you know, I think that women are up against more than men are in our society, in almost every society. And for, you know, in American politics, this is the first time this is happening. This is a really long time coming. And I think that watching Hillary Clinton go through so much over so many years in her career, you know, it can be something that I think that it can be to her detriment. I think that people see that, you know, she's been in the public eye for so long that it's almost like people feel that they know her so well, and that can really work against her. But I also, for me, it's inspiring, you know, and her career is a huge part of what I think is so admirable about her, that she has worked so hard and been and is the most qualified person to be running for president in my lifetime and many people's lifetimes.
In your piece, you write, Elizabeth, sometimes I think that many people in this country are still scared to see a powerful woman. Are they?
Yeah, I do think so. You know, I think if you look at the, you know, statistics facing women today who are, you know, just in the workforce, you know, that we make 79 cents to the dollar that men make. And then when you look at powerful women, you know, there are out of the top 500 companies, 24 women are CEOs. There are only 20 senators in the Senate who are female. There's, you know, less than 20% of Congress. So to me, those numbers say something. There's something that is, it's not just that it's a challenge for women to get elected or to receive equal pay. It's that I think there are barriers put up that make it so that women can't get those things.
How do you explain, Elizabeth, we've examined pretty carefully this generational gap, and on the Democratic side, young women went for Bernie Sanders in very large numbers. Why is that, do you think? Do they not understand the history of the women's movement in this country? Do they see Hillary Clinton as a privileged candidate, and it doesn't matter if she's a male or a female? What is it?
That's a great question, and it's one that I have struggle to understand myself, and I think that the answer is really complicated. I think that in the general election, I don't think it's going to be a problem for Clinton. I think that, or I mean, you know, that's certainly my hope. But I think that, you know, a couple of the things you mentioned are definitely true. I think that there isn't as heightened of an awareness of how historic this is, because, you know, women of my generation, women younger than me, have we've had opportunities that our moms did not have, and I think we need to continue to fight for those. But in some ways, there is a little bit of taking for granted, and I don't necessarily think that it's because, you know, I definitely don't think that it's because Hillary Clinton is a woman that younger women didn't support her as, you know, maybe excitedly as they supported Bernie Sanders. But I think that she has been in the public eye for 25 years, and there's, you know, that sort of inevitable feeling that was around her candidacy worked against her. And I think, you know, I was also, I think there's something to the whole, you know, that Bernie Sanders was positing himself as a socialist and, you know, or a democratic socialist, that there's a excitement about that that maybe people in other generations don't feel as positively about, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And tell us more about, when you examine and you've been learning more and more about your mom's life recently, when you look at your mom's life in your life and you talk about her experiences being so different from your experiences, tell me more about that. How are they substantially different, your life?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I have very few complaints. I've had a really great opportunities. I live a really wonderful life, and I credit my parents for that. They raised me to be very independent, to feel free to have opinions, to, you know, they said that education was the most important thing. I have three brothers, so I'm the only girl out of all four of us. I was never treated any differently. You know, I mowed the lawn, they did the dishes, there was, you know, no treatment differently in my household for my gender. And I think that as I got older, you know, and was educated the exact same way as my brothers, and encouraged to do the things I love, you know, to write, to travel, to move to many different places. My parents have just, you know, have supported me throughout that. And, you know, I think that for my mom, she put all of us first from the very beginning. And I know that for her, it was so important to see all of us succeed, and that was, you know, a way of her continuing, you know, the things that she didn't necessarily have when she was younger.
Mm-hmm. And she had to do all of this by herself for so long, put herself through school also while she was raising children and also working, and that's hard. That's really hard to do all of that.
Yeah, it is. It is really hard, you know, and it's something that, you know, as you said, I'm about to have a baby, and I think about my own career, and I think about, you know, how do you balance all of these things? You know, she went to graduate school when all of us were really young, and she worked when we were kids, and, you know, and obviously when she was single in the 70s, she was putting herself through college, she was working at different jobs. You know, I think that there are ways that all women find to balance all of these different things, you know, being a mother, being a good employee, you know, finding a career that is meaningful and also lucrative. But I do think it is trickier for women than it is for men. Mm-hmm. We still take on the lion's share.
Absolutely. And when you have the baby, you'll really realize that.
I know. Yeah, I know. I think I'll be feeling that. I'll be understanding that even more very soon.
Yes, you will. I'm so glad you liked mowing the lawn. I still love to mow the lawn. I just love mowing lawns. I have since I was
did,
a kid,
I
too.
I did, too. I don't have a lawn anymore because I live in the city. But I have fond memories of, you know, mowing my parents' lawn when I was in high school.
Right. Our guest this hour is Elizabeth Ward Gutting. You may have seen the piece that she wrote in the New York Times on May 19, What My Mother Sees in Hillary. It was a very beautiful piece. Her mother went through a very, very difficult time in the 1970s. Her mother's first husband was killed in a car crash, and as a result of being a single mom, she couldn't get a credit card, her car insurance, she couldn't get that, the ability to take out a loan because she was a single woman. She was asked to move because it might look better, even though the landlady thought that she had been through a rough time, it might be better for all if she moved to another place. Just a whole list of obstacles, being sexually harassed on the workplace. But she went to school, she married again to a very supportive man, and our guest was born, and her two brothers, so she has three brothers now, and she is expecting her first child just about any moment. We thought it would be a very personal way to look at this generation gap and to ask you about this as well. The article is What My Mother Sees in Hillary. Is there a generational divide? And I guess I'm looking particularly for people who are Hillary supporters who maybe have lived through what Elizabeth's mother lived through, and for those who are of a younger generation, too, who may be supporters of Hillary or maybe not, don't see the historic nature of this. We welcome your phone calls. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. So please join our conversation. We'll be with you momentarily on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls for our guest this hour, Elizabeth Ward Gutting, and our first caller is Frank, and Frank is on the road. Hi, Frank.
Hi, I'm calling. I would argue I have the one most wonderful mother-in-law in the world. She's 81, so it's maybe basically a half generation older than the folks you're talking about, of Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a school teacher. And that when she was approaching her marriage, she had to resign in 1960 from being a teacher in Neenah, Wisconsin, because she was getting married and taking the job of a man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about, you know, what the younger generation has experienced in light of the generation of Hillary Clinton, your guest mother, but I also think of the older generation, or not even the older generation, the half generation older, and how different things have become. So I just wondered what you think about that. I always thought, you know, Wisconsin, really? 1960, you had to quit teaching. You had the degree, the experience, but you were getting married, and you now were taking someone else's role because you were a woman. So.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think there is a whole generation of women, even before my mom's, I mean, you know, thousands of years that come before where women face these sorts of struggles. And that, you know, is shocking that your 81-year-old mother-in-law had to resign just because she was getting married. Actually, I spoke with somebody who told me, you know, that she in the, you know, 50s had was one of the first people working at a phone, of one of the first women working at a phone company, and the men were, you know, very critical of her being there, and there was a lot of conversation about how she had taken jobs away from men. So this is something that, you know, I can't imagine facing that in the workplace. And that she did face that, it shows, you know, that we have come a very long way. And it shows that she obviously has a strength of character that, you know, a lot of people will, I think, you know, I don't think there's anyone who wouldn't admire it. But, you know, I will also say, I think that we have, that younger women, you know, I think sometimes have forgotten that these struggles existed, because we've been really lucky that we had people who worked ahead of us to make our lives a little bit more fair. At the same time, there's still a lot of work to be done. I wouldn't say that we're, you know, at all close to having equal opportunities in the workplace.
And thank you, Frank, very much for your call. A BBC presenter wrote a piece recently, and I'm interested in your response to this. She talks about women who are maybe 50 and above and having the belief that they will not live long enough to see another female nominee candidate for the presidency. But if you're a younger woman, you may not be as excited because you figure it's going to happen again in my lifetime.
You know, I can kind of see that. At the same time, I think that in 2008, when Hillary Clinton gave her concession speech, women who had even supported Obama throughout that primary had a feeling of, you know, I've read things where women said, you know, even though I was supporting Obama, they had this feeling of, oh my gosh, did I just lose the opportunity to see a woman become president? She's the only woman who has really ever tried to run for president. And there are certainly other very strong, powerful females who I think will be able to, you know, later down the line, take on the same challenge. You know, I think that Elizabeth Warren, I think Amy Klobuchar, I think there are, you know, people who, once this barrier is broken, you know, my hope is that it will continue to be the norm, that women will compete to be president of the United States. But, you know, I wouldn't say that it's something that anyone should take for granted. And I think that, you know, as I was saying before, Hillary Clinton she's been in the spotlight for such a long time. Sometimes it can seem like, oh, this is just an inevitable candidate. But she has worked so hard to get to where she is.
We go to Mona in Madison next. Hi, Mona.
Hi. Yeah, I'm on the road, too. I just got into Iowa. I'm of age, right? I came of age in the 60s, so I went through all the same things that your previous caller's mom did. as far as, you know, discrimination and being, you know, geared off into women's work. I became a teacher. It was two choices, teacher or nurse. Anyway, so I've done all that, but I am not a Hillary fan. I don't want to vote for a woman, just be voting for a woman. I want to vote for the best possible candidate. And when Hillary started really, well, she's been doing it the whole time, but she kept saying, I'm going to be the first woman president. Well, he'd look at it and say, yeah, you're going to be the first woman president. He says, look at it. She's like harping on that. And then have people say, oh, there's a special place in hell if you don't vote for a woman. That just totally turned me off, and I know it turned off a lot of people in my generation because we didn't work for that. That's no better than saying a man won't vote for her because she's a woman. I'm going to vote for the best candidate, and that was what we were fighting for.
So who's your candidate, Mona, if you don't mind saying?
Bernie.
Okay.
So, I'm still torn. I don't know if I can vote for her. I just don't like her. Oh, she's great. You know, there's lots of political stuff I don't like about her. So her views and whatnot don't mesh with mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I have to because, you know, God knows we don't want the alternative. But it's just going to kill me to do it. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are not going to even be able to do it. I don't think they're just not going to vote. You know, which is really a shame. I would definitely vote. I'll vote for the nominee, but hold my nose, vote for Hillary if I can stand.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Mona. She's referring, of course, to Gloria Steinem and Madeleine Albright's comments that received some attention. Were you offended by those comments about young women?
Was I offended by those comments about young women? You know, I'll say that, you know, this caller, just because you've, you know, faced the same sort of obstacles, I would never expect that every single woman would support Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. And for me, the most important thing is that a woman, you know, is not that a woman is president, but that the most qualified person is president. And for me, that person is Hillary Clinton. You know, there are always going to be arguments over politics that, you know, come down to what basically I think means qualified and what another person thinks means qualified. But, you know, when it comes to Madeleine Albright's comment about, you know, a special place in hell for women who don't support other women, I was not offended by that because that's something that Madeleine Albright has been saying for many, many years. And I think that it was taken out of context. I understand that, you know, and you know, she wrote an op-ed in the New York Times basically apologizing for it because she never meant for that to backfire in the way that it did, you know. And she said if heaven were open only to those who agreed on politics, she imagined it would be, you know, a largely unoccupied place. You know, this was not something where she was condemning women for not supporting Hillary. She was just making the same argument that she's made many times over, which is that if we don't pay attention to history and the gains that we've all fought so hard for, then we could move backwards. And I do think that that is something that I hope, you know, everyone who is a voter takes into consideration when we look at the two choices that we have now, you know, or that we're about to have once the conventions take place.
Let's go to Karen next in Madison. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I'd just like to comment about the answer to the question why there's a big divide between perhaps younger folks and older women. And it's because one of the things I'm always so surprised at is girls don't realize how fast women's lib occurred. I mean, I went through hell just like this lady's mother did, and yet it was just a mere 30 years ago and or 40 years ago. And women have so much more, they don't even notice it. And it's like we didn't have big demonstrations and things like African Americans did to point out our history and how quickly we have progressed. And so I think older women remember and think, oh, there's going to be a woman who's president. And yes, we want the most qualified person, but we're deeply excited by that prospect. Whereas younger women may not realize how recently they got their liberation and their rights. Does that make sense?
Elizabeth?
I think that absolutely makes sense. I think, you know, what you're saying is exactly right. It occurred very quickly. You know, I was recently on the phone with my mom again, and she was telling me about the first Ms. magazine she ever bought. You know, she still owns it. It's something that was so groundbreaking for her at the time. And that's, you know, to me, we're living in the same span of time. And, you know, there are things so much more progressive now for women. Yes. And I think, you know, that there is something to how quickly it occurred. I think there's, you know, the women's liberation movement was very... you know, very swift compared to some other things. A lot of rights happened, you know, very quickly. When you think that, you know,
in 1984, we didn't have a place to change for the crew team here on the university campus. So they changed finally in the chancellor's office naked. But that was the only way they got dressing rooms for a crew team that was going to the Olympics.
And this was what year? In the 80s?
This was in 1984.
Goodness.
And there were no female bathrooms in the natatorium when I got here in 1970 for the swimming team. They mm-hmm. had built the building. It was brand new. And there were no female locker rooms or bathrooms. No, so I'll get out here. Thank you.
Yeah, there certainly weren't any women's sport teams at all. When I went to high school, there just weren't any. There were none. And that certainly has changed. Becky posts on Facebook, Parker High School in Janesville put on the show 9 to 5 this year, and those students couldn't believe that women were treated that way in the workplace, a real eye-opener of how far we have come and how little they know about what their mothers and grandmothers went through. Maybe we need a few history lessons here. And what our grandmothers went through was really something, trying to get, for heaven's sake, the right to vote in the 20th century.
Right. Yeah, no, this is something, you know, I had a couple of people on Twitter, I mean, more than a couple, but it's something that really stood out to me. You know, a young woman wrote to me to say that, you know, after she read my piece in the Times, she had talked to her mom and learned for the first time that even while her mom was putting her dad through law school, she couldn't take a credit card out in her own name. And that was something that had never, you know, had never been a part of a conversation. You know, she had always just thought that her mom was, you know, I'm sure that was a point of pride for her, that her mother had put her father through law school. You know, it's not always that way. It's often the reverse, that, you know, men were doing something for women. But then, you know, that there was this, you know, that this was not something that women could have, you know, legally. We couldn't have credit cards.
Thanks, Sharon, for your call. Elizabeth, do you think, and if so, please outline what these policies are, that Hillary Clinton has been particularly strong on endorsement of women's rights?
I do. Yeah, I do think so. You know, I think that she, from the beginning of her early career, you know, working for the Children's Defense Fund and working for... I mean, for families, for women to have equal pay, for, you know, there to be paid family leave. When she was Secretary of State, she made women and girls her, you know, one of her main priorities. She traveled to more countries than any other Secretary of State. This was something that she pushed constantly. You know, I do think that she has, and, you know, when it comes to reproductive rights, you can, you know, she's being endorsed, obviously, by Neural Pro-Choice, by Planned Parenthood. She has stood by women's reproductive rights. And that's something that, you know, I think we can all see that, you know, history will be made by whoever is next president. There's, you know, a Supreme Court nomination that still needs to be made. There are things that have to be defended. And, you know, as I see it, she is certainly the best defender on the field for women and, you know, for also, I think, our American values. But that goes into a whole other conversation.
What my mother sees in Hillary, a piece that appeared in the New York Times, the opinion pages on May 19, Elizabeth Ward Gutting, who's the author of the piece, she also sees quite a bit, and Hillary Clinton is with us this hour. She is obviously a younger woman who's about to have a baby any moment now, and the piece looks at what her mother went through in the 1970s, all kinds of discrimination and great fortitude on her mother's part to get to where she is, and she sees similarities between her mom and Hillary Clinton. She is supporting Hillary Clinton in the election, and because she is of that young generation, we wanted to explore her thoughts about the generational divide here. And welcome your phone calls. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. One line is open for you right now, 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. I am Kathleen Dunn, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's listen. I'm interested in Elizabeth's response to this. You've probably heard this before. This is just a short clip from one of CNN's town hall meetings, and we hear a young woman ask Hillary Clinton about some of the generational differences regarding the popularity of her candidacy.
Hi, Secretary Clinton. Hi. So my mom supports you, and I've been leaning towards Bernie for several reasons, including that he's not corporately funded. I feel like he really understands my generation's problem with student debt and, you know, how much pressure we're under with that. My question for you is, what do you think has been causing this common generational gap that I see so many places between your supporters and Senator Sanders supporters?
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest. I really don't know. But I want you to know that whether you end up supporting me or not, I will support you. And I will support the young people of this country, because that has been... that has been my life's work.
Do you think she really didn't understand what's causing the generational gap? Has she rounded out that answer at all since it was first asked, Elizabeth?
That's a great question. You know, I do think it probably bedevils her as to why she's not supported by the younger generation as much. You know, and I should say, you know, again, I think that in the general election this won't be as much of an issue, at least that is my hope. But I actually do remember hearing, I actually heard it on NPR one morning, you know, that replay of the young woman asking her why there was this generational divide. And I think I probably, you know, screamed something at the radio because I don't agree that, you know, I've never agreed, or at least for me, you know, it was never that Bernie Sanders understands my struggles more than Hillary Clinton understands my struggles. I'll also say that for me, you know, because I feel, you know, I'm less concerned about my own struggles and more concerned about the future of the country and the things that, you know, are important to me that happen in this country. You know, and I have tons of student debt. And, you know, of course I worry about it. But it's not the most important thing to me that gets figured out. And I also think that Hillary Clinton is as concerned about it as Senator Bernie Sanders. You know, I think that between the two of them, there really is maybe 10% differences. And I would say 90% of the time they're about the same in their policies. And I would also say that, you know, has a much more proven track record throughout her career of actually accomplishing and getting things done. And so, you know, for me, that was always the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kate in Mukwonago next. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hi.
I won't repeat all the things everybody else has said about what their moms have gone through, because my mom went through them. But I'm going to be 81 years old in November, and there's been so many subtle things that have happened to me as a woman. Things have gotten better, but there's still so many subtle things. Buying a car, doing any kind of financial transaction, they always have eye contact with your husband, never with you. They always sign the papers first, and on and on and on. And I sat with my grandchildren a couple of years ago when they were learning their social studies, and they looked at all the presidents, and I said to them, look at these pictures, and what is missing here? What is missing is they're all white, and they're all men. And it's been a couple of hundred years, and it's time. And I think Bernie Sanders is great and all of that, But so is Hillary Clinton, and she's paid her dues. She's put in her time. She's honest no matter what kind of mud they sling at her. And I think some of the people who are saying, well, you have to vote for the best candidate, and, you know, Bernie does this and Bernie does that, it's almost like they've been brainwashed. It's sort of like, what do we have to do as a woman to get to be the president of the United States? If this doesn't do it, I mean, for goodness sake, this race we have going now, she's obviously the most qualified candidate.
Elizabeth.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, everything you've said, I completely agree with, obviously. And, you know, those subtle moments of sexism, there's not a woman in the world who hasn't experienced that, you know. And I think that for you, you said you're 81 years old.
Yes, she is.
You know, that's many more years, and I have all the respect in the world for you for all the things that you have gone through and that you continue to go through, because it doesn't end. You know, and that's your question, what do we have to do? You know, I think you have to be tough as nails. Hillary Clinton is tough, and, you know, I think that she has had to be, you know, just like any woman applying for any job, she is much more qualified than the men in the field for the position. And she has done more with her career than almost any woman alive. And that is why she is the candidate. She will be the nominee. Yes, she'll be facing someone who, you know, it's almost out of like a comic strip or something, or, you know, it's like this supervillain of, you know, that it really is almost comical that, you know, this is who she's going to be facing off against.
We had a Marquette survey released yesterday. They tend to be pretty accurate, and they're released several times a year. This one looked at a number of different races, but it looked at favorable and unfavorable ratings for both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and it showed that her unfavorable ratings still persisted, about 55%, his or higher. But so much has been made of the fact that she is not liked by a lot of Americans. How do you explain that, and is there a way you support her candidacy for her to change those numbers?
How do I explain that 55% unfavorable?
Yes.
You know, I would say that she has been in the spotlight for so many years. As the caller just said, you know, she's had mud slung at her for the entire time that she has been in the public eye. And I think that you know, while for me and for many of her supporters, her long career is the thing that we really see as a strength, I think that it can be, you know, she has more to contend with. And that, you know, that the GOP for 25 years has basically been slandering her. You know, I think that a lot of the times that also, you know, their messages about her, while they're often false, have become the stuff of, you know, just regular social acceptance. You know, there's really nothing that, you know, people, friends of mine, people that I know who fall into that 55% of not favoring her, finding her in some way, you know, dislikable or dishonest. You know, there's often not a lot that I have found people can say that is really specific about those. It's more this general sort of feeling. And I think that you really have to dig more and scratch the surface a lot more, do more reading and see things in what she has done, you know, that's not unfavorable. But it's easier to just accept what you hear, I think. And there is sort of, you know, a national narrative that goes around events and people. And I think that she's been the subject of that for longer than most.
Thanks, Kate, for your call. Karen in Winona, hi.
Hi, bless your heart, Kathleen, for having this show, and bless Elizabeth's heart for writing the article. I know you don't have much time left, so I'm going to be quick.
Okay.
I graduated in 1963 from college, the year The Feminine Mystique was published. Mm. Many of us were called uppity women, many, and because we wanted things that men had had. And even though things looked like they were open, they were not. And I have to say, I just read yesterday a post online from a man named Michael Arnovitz, A-R-N-O-V-I-T-Z, a Facebook post, about why is she so hated. One of the things he said really resonated with me. It was a very cogent article and not ranting at all. In 1996, William Safire, that many of us know is a very strong conservative writer, kind of pounced on her for being so uppity and called her a liar. And she wasn't. PolitiFact has done an analysis of candidates this year for president, and she's actually the most truthful one. But she got a reputation from conservatives because she was uppity, because she wanted to be called Hillary Rodham Clinton. Oh, my gosh, how terrible. And because she didn't want to bake cookies. And she wanted to do things for children, and she wanted to do things in a big way. And that was not well taken. My dad was a very strong conservative Republican, and I can remember that. I think that's the reason. I have a daughter who's kind and good to people. She's about the same age as Elizabeth, perhaps. And my daughter is good and has a backbone of steel, and she supports Hillary Clinton. I have a granddaughter who's the same way. She's 14. She supports Hillary Clinton. But I think lots of people just don't see the real Hillary Clinton, because for so long she has been knocked down untruthfully by people who didn't like that she was so uppity. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Karen. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think, Karen, that is, you said it quite well. I think that, you know, that's that whole term of, you know, uppity, it just is, it's one of those words that you rarely hear applied to men. It's something that I think a lot of women get pushed on, and you know what exactly is the problem with being ambitious? Well, when a woman is ambitious, it's really different than when a man is ambitious for some reason. And I think you're exactly right that you're basically echoing, like, you know, what I believe and what I've said is that there is a certain amount, you know, when you just get called something enough times, and you get a reputation for something, then even if the facts don't back those assumptions and those claims, people start taking it on and believing it. And I think that we have to really work against that. We have to be very informed when we vote. And I hope that that is what will happen in this election.
Thanks for the call. We have time for one more call. 30 seconds is all, though. Jan in Duluth.
Oh, my. I'm 70. I'm for Bernie. Hillary is a hawk. She's in the DFL. She's part of the machine. She will not release her, whatever, her speeches. And I think we should think more about the young people coming up and not all these women who are living in the past. I went through it, too. Couldn't get a job because I had a baby. I had to lie.
Okay, I need to hold you there. Is she too much a woman of privilege, Elizabeth, in 10 seconds?
No, I don't think that that is the issue at all. I would say that the things this caller has pointed out, you know, it's not about her speeches, and it's not about being part of any machine. Hillary Clinton is the most qualified candidate, in my opinion, and I think that, you know, being a quote part of that establishment is actually often her strength.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Good luck with the baby.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Elizabeth Ward Gutting, her piece is on our Facebook page, What My Mother Sees in Hillary. Thanks to Scotty Myers and to Carrie Salinas for producing the show and for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Thanks for listening, everybody. News coming up.